Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cries the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight. Here the mind becomes a playground, a vast universe, unique, free of the constraints born in preconceived theories, where your voice will be uncloaked, heard. My name is Pam Ray, and co-hosting with me tonight, I have Jeremy F. Jeremy and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. If you find that tonight's show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Jeremy. How's it going?
Woot. How are you, my dear? I'm hanging on by a thread, but I'm still hanging on.
All right. Well, yeah, better hanging on by a thread than not hanging at all. So I guess.
I'm doing great.
Thank you for being here on this unexpected Wednesday night after midnight show, or Thursday, depending on what area you live in. So, it's going to be a great night. And, of course, a shout out to our good friend Rex, hoping he feels better soon and will be back with us shortly. And
absolutely
sending him love and prayers and all and healing vibes and all that. So, you know, whatever it is he needs, for sure. But yes, we have a great lineup of poetry. We are going to start out with some Bob Dylan inspired writes, because Bob Dylan just not too long ago had a birthday on May 24th. He is a fellow Gemini like myself, and I felt like he deserved to have a show where we wrote poetry inspired by him.
I'm sure he appreciates the nod.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, me and my good buddy Bob, no doubt about it. Yep. And I would like to welcome Randy to the show. Welcome, Randy. Glad you could join us.
Hello, Pam, Jeremy. Glad to be here. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. And yourself?
Not too bad. Like Jeremy said, hanging in there.
Yeah. I have to say the weather here has been a little warm for me, but, you know, I know there's areas, you know, in the world where it's much worse, but, you know, for me, it gets like up to 88 degrees and I'm just miserable. I'm like hiding indoors where there's shade and air conditioner and, you know, all that. So, you know, other than that, life is good. So, and like I said, we've got some great poetry tonight. So, you know what, let's go ahead and get that ball rolling. So I'll go ahead and I'm going to put your poem up first, Randy. So when you see it, go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay, this poem was inspired by Bob Dylan's song, Ballad of a Thin Man, one of my particular favorites of his. And it's called Mr. Clone. You're always the main attraction at parties or on the job, quick with a joke and ready for action among the drunken snobs. You wear almighty suits, you preen and arrogantly strut. Your pompous actions look obscene, like a common slut. You mingle with the peasants, but never invite them home, because something's happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Clone? You enter a room, joining the crowd as they talk nonstop, passing a pipe, lost in a smoky crowd, reciting tales of Aesop, while listening to Bob Dylan and slowly getting stoned. there is something happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Clone? They ask, who are you? You say, me, and then you pause. You query, who are you? They say, we, to a round of applause. From drunks and jokers with questions of their own. But there's something happening here, and you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Clone? You have them kneel to kiss your rings like a vassal. They all serve a corrupt and fallen king who is without a castle. Your wife, all alone, out in wild suburbia, had herself a plan, ate a banana, and gave a horizontal hernia to your neighbor, Stan. Licking his heels together, says there's no place like home. You feel something's happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Clone? You notice nothing, driving off in your Benz to a private club, throw back a few of fair-weather friends who belong in a pub. With 20/20 vision, you're still blind despite new glasses. The people on the street, now hard to find among the masses, no longer respond to you, and you find you're all alone. Because something is happening here, you still don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Clone? In poem.
Great read and write, Randy. I really like your choice of a song to be inspired to, and I'm very impressed with the bite in this poem. And of course, I'm going to comment further, but before I do, I'd like to hear your thoughts, Jeremy.
It's thick, Randy. I dig it. And I enjoyed it on a lot of levels. First of all, yes, I love the format. I love the repetition. I love the song. The sing-songy feel with repetition, and I like how it fits into a Bob Dylan-esque theme, the rhyme, all of that that formats and makes it musical, lyrical, and beautiful. But in terms of the subject matter, man, it's thick. And I went a whole bunch of different ways from the start. Let me try to break it down the best I can. There's the envy at the beginning, and then all of a sudden there's that turn where it becomes – disdain for this gregarious individual, this gregarious character. Then there's the hint in which, where did you say it? But you said he is me or I am him. It becomes really, I finally realized that saying Mr. Clone is, it's a hatred of oneself. And oneself in the secondary or the false face that they put out in the world. And so then I have a third emotion about this anti-hero. And then when the wife cheats on him, doing the horizontal mambo with the banana, whatever, ate a banana and gave a horizontal hernia to your neighbor Stan, all of a sudden I'm being pity. So this is like all of the emotions that I felt for the narrative voice in this Mr. Clone, and the thought of looking outside of oneself in an analytical way with both pity, with envy, with disdain. I mean, we all feel those emotions. But you do it from that third party analytical voice that makes it an entertaining story unless you really dive deeper into everything that goes on. I mean, it kind of – as you do this – okay, so we had a get-together for the holiday just this past weekend. And, yeah, I mean, I look at myself from outside, and you kind of do those cringeworthy after a night of debauchery, looking at yourself going, ooh, did I do that? Did I say that? Did I act that way? And it kind of – hit home in that regard too. So I kind of like how one can step outside of oneself and analyze. I like how we are all clones, especially in kind of a more public setting. But I'm just impressed by the fact that you got me thinking so much so quick, so early on in the show, Randy, because it really is a deep piece. I'm going to assume it's fictitious, but I also think that there's also a lot of self-truth in it because of how deep it dove, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, great write, man. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Absolutely. Great comment, Jeremy. I really like this. I thought it was a great reflection off of the chosen prompt. I like how the line, there is something happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Clone, really works well as with the lyrical quality of the song itself, which is actually, I think, one of my favorite songs too, because I remember I did a contest on using just that song alone as a prompt. Like I said, I like the bite to this. I like the hard-hitting imagery. You wear Armani suits, you preen and arrogantly strut. Your pompous actions look obscene like a common slut. You mingle with the peasants but never invite them home. You know, it's all about that showmanship and someone who's trying to look like this unique individual, but, you know, really they're just a carbon copy of everybody else. And you can feel that sense of self-loathing. Another line I really like is, you have them kneel to kiss your ring just like a vassal. They all serve a corrupt and fallen king who's without a castle. I like the political undertones within those lines and the social commentary that it makes. So just an amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely.
And I would like to welcome Faziana to the show. Welcome, Fazy. Glad you could join us. How's it going?
Hi, Pam. Pretty good. Glad to be here.
Good. All right. Wonderful. And did you get a chance to read Randy's poem, Mr. Clone?
I've just skimmed it now because I missed the actual reading. But, you know, at first glance, I really like the way it has that repetition of Mr. Clone and the way that it calls them out for being superficial, worrying about the suits and how everything looks. And I liked the line, you mingle with the peasants but never invite them home. It's like you try to be a man of the people, but not really. You know, there's still that snobbiness there. There's still that separation. And you just pointed out a part where they're kissing the ring. So it's like you expect people to suck up to you, and then yet you don't even have the castle. It's like it's all a facade. They're, you know, the Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Like you don't actually have the power that you're presenting, and nothing to stand back. And then left your wife alone in suburbia while you're out having this like madman kind of lifestyle. And then of course what happens is she's moving on with someone else, and that's tough. I think this does have a lot of great social commentary. I'll have to dig into it deeper later on, because I only came in at the last minute, but from what I see, it's really good.
Absolutely.
Great comment. All right. Well, up next we have The Traveling Man by Lockdown Larks. And Jeremy, will you give that a read for us, please?
Welcome, Fazy. Glad to have you. Here we go. Traveling Man. Getting high and hibbing feels like a song gotta be sung. A Robert takes no ribbing as he finds his heart's tongue. The wind whispered to you, and you caught its mood, and as the rain fell too, your lyrics define a dude. Woody had a message to sing, something that needed to be heard. Instead of Mr. Jones, amends the thing, but you remember the man's first word. He's no icon, just a traveling man, lucky to be out on cloud nine. Found a way to be his best fan. Looking back, he'll feel fine. Looking back on our pathway, and all we have to do is sway, saying all we want to say, we travel with you on your birthday. End poem.
Great read there, Jeremy, and what a wonderful write by Lockdown Larks. And Faithy, your thoughts?
I like this. I feel like it references a few different Bob Dylan songs, or at least there's little bits of it that kind of cling to me, like I'm like, I know that from somewhere, it's connected. Although me remembering lyrics is definitely a challenge. But I feel like it has some good references here. And I don't know the word hibbing, but I like the way that it sounds, getting high and hibbing. Inhibiting. I think it's a wordplay. Never mind. Ignore me. I'm just making connections. I like the idea of like the traveling man who's not trying to be an icon. He's humble and just lucky to be doing what he's doing, because I feel like that's a Bob Dylan vibe. You know, he as famous as he gets, he doesn't really have that, like, I'm a rock star, give me all the stuff kind of vibe about him. He's sort of, like, mellow and humble and just one of the guys kind of feel to him. And I feel like this kind of captures that.
Absolutely. And you're right. And that was something Randy and I were talking about before, about how he's a man of the common folk, and, you know, he doesn't come across as this, like, full of himself rock star. And just so you know, and it probably would have helped, but I like the way your brain was working, and it would have helped if he had capitalized it, but Hibbing is actually the town in Minnesota where Bob Dylan was born. It's actually right between the Twin Cities and Northwest Wisconsin. My family actually used to stop there for pies and donuts. So yes, yep.
And I'm over
but
here
I thought it was really cool.
I'm over here looking things up on the internet, trying to sound all smart, Pam. But yes, that's right. I didn't know what you were saying, but no, Pam. Thank you for the clarification.
Yes. But I did like the way Faisy's mind was working there, trying to put two and two together. And yeah, wonderful comment. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
No, I love Faisy's comments. And I always love when, especially when there's a tribute. And again, I apologize that I am not well-versed in Dylan's songography, his whole library of records. But I do know there is a lot of references, like what Faisy alluded to, and you can feel that. You can feel the nods to his famous songs, and I always dig that. I like it when they're hidden, and I like it when it's not obvious. I like the getting, hiding, hibbing, which Faisy also pointed out, and this has a beautiful flow to it. I mean, it's definitely a tribute, and tributes sometimes you can feel are genuine when someone just kind of gets in the mood of it, and I think that Lockdown did that in this. They got in the spirit of Bob Dylan. That's all that one can really ask for. If someone really appreciates a lyricist that's as talented as Dylan, and makes a tribute like this that's definitely in his style, all you can do is sit back and smile. So, great write.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this. Lockdown did a really good job. Yeah, right from the beginning, you know, the getting high and hitting, obviously, as we just heard, you know, his hometown. Feels like a song got to be sung by Robert, which is, you know, his name, Robert Zimmerman. Robert takes no ribbing as he finds his heart's tongue. Early on in Minnesota, he was a folk singer. And further down in the third stanza says, Woody had a message to sing, and that's one of his idols was the famous folk singer, Woody, and now I can't think of his last name, but
Guthrie.
Yeah, Woody Guthrie, and I think that's a paying homage to Woody Guthrie here in this line. Had a message to sing, something that needed to be heard. Indeed, Mr. Jones amends the thing, and that refers to back to Ballad of a Thin Man, which I based my poem off of, which Mr. Jones instead of Mr. Clone was in that song. I thought it was nice. You know, the traveling man, Woody Guthrie, did a lot of songs about being on the railroad and traveling around the country, and the common man, and, you know, Bob Dylan was a very, very big in the folk singing community. And in fact, when he went electric, a lot of the folk people really came down hard on him. They couldn't stand the fact that he was selling out, playing electric guitar, and it was a big deal back then. So, I like Lockdown's poem here. It was very well written, and that was a good read, Jeremy.
Oh, absolutely. And that's an interesting tidbit to learn, and I can definitely see that because, you know, people who like a certain type of music, like folk music, they expect, you know, there not to be electronic instruments. And so I can see how that would have been a big deal. Yeah, I like the imagery in this. I like the song references. I like that it's a tribute poem to Bob Dylan. And, you know, and I really like the wind whispered to you and you caught its mood. And as the rain fell to your lyrics define a dude. And then the stanza after that, that like you were mentioning, Randy mentions Woody Guthrie, who was, you know, like practically the godfather of, you know, the that type of music. Gosh, I hate when I blank out on a word, but folk music. Yeah, the godfather of folk music. So, I also really like, he's no icon, just a traveling man, lucky to be on cloud nine, found a way to be his best fan. Looking back, he'll feel fine. Great lines and very well done.
Tammy, if I fire up the Winnebago and grab Faisie and head over to Hibbing, are you going to put us up for a night while we go to a party?
Well, first you have to come to Trigo, Wisconsin, which is where I live. Then we will go to Hibbing. We'll find a hotel to stay at. I'll track down that place. Hopefully it's still open that had the really good pie, you know, back when I was a kid. And yeah, I'm game.
All right. Well, Faisie and I are on our way. We got to swing by and pick up Randy, but we're heading to Hibbing, so get ready for us.
That's quite a drive.
Right? Canada to somewhere down south to back up north. I mean, wow. That's like the mystery magical tour bus or something. And,
It's worth it. It's gonna have, we're going to have fun. Bob Dylan style.
That's right. Sounds good to me. All right, well, I will go ahead and put up the next write, and it is Dylan's Wilder Last Day Child by K-Bab. And Faisie, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Dylan's Wilder Last Day Child by K-Bab. I did look forward to it, flower child, grown wild with mythology. Zimmerman to glance in trance of nostalgia, 60s beat of mountain retreat 10 rows back, where face did crack and smile of years to pin as social invitation, his way with arms to fingers, words, in secret smile offering renovation, to days of yore as snapshot in meeting. Of course, I rose and made my way. Back through picture's place of perfect, embracing surprise in yesterday's eyes, exchanging story in midnight glory, pondering fate in useless dialogue, aged grave voice beyond his prime, asking storm to blow his wind, line to find a distant time, marking sign in mosh pit dash, where Dylan changed the dying subject. His old voice cracked in new age weather, nimbus noise of napalm clouds, turning shadows with holy shrouds, where crowds roared noise, called girls and boys, running wild to find their cover, inside his pelting drops of tune, forecasting the ever-falling moon. Everybody knows the late, late show, last chance echoes now to blow, and it's hard. It's hard, rain's
a-gonna fall. Great read there, Faisie. I wasn't quite sure if you were going to, like, break out into to song with those last lines, but, you know, I was hoping.
Well,
great
the thing
read.
That came to mind was, it's a hard day's night, but that is not Bob Dylan, so.
It's not, no. Well, it could be. You know, the guy's written hundreds of songs, and sometimes you find out he's written a song, but I don't think it is, no. But K-Bab was inspired by the song A Hard Rain's A Gonna Fall. And I really like this. You know, to me, KBAB has wonderful wordplay and always thought-provoking lines. I like how this is both a tribute to Bob Dylan with the mention of his true last name, Zimmerman to Glance and Trance of Nostalgia, 60s beat of Mountain Retreat, 10 Rows Back. You know, I mean, you can just see within those lines, 10 Rows Back, the idea of somebody going to a Bob Dylan contest, not contest, sorry, that's what I ran, concert, yes, concert. I really like his old voice cracked in new age weather, nimbus noise of napalm clouds, tuning shadows with holy shrouds, where crowds roared, noise called girls and boys running wild to find their cover. There's a darkness to those lines because it speaks on war, on the nuclear or neutron bombs or whatever you call them, and war and disaster and the pain that comes with it, which is a lot of what the song was about. And I think those lines really speak well on how Bob Dylan used his poetic ability and his voice to speak up about such issues and try to create a sense of peace within humanity, or at least a sense of awareness. But, you know, I really like the whole, like, going to a concert vibe that is within this rite. So excellent write and very well done. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, you hit on a couple things that I totally agree with, Pam. I mean, wonderful analysis and breakdown of this poem. But there's nothing cooler, right? There's nothing cooler than being in a live show, especially if it's someone that you really enjoy. And that feeling when you get in the moment, when the crowd's into it and you're part of that crowd, and it's a singer that you really enjoy. And the mood is just right. It's something hard to capture. And I got that. I think that this poem was able to, that KBAB was able to do that in the second. And it made me smile. 10 rows back where the face did crack in smile of years. There's a familiarity to it. And I don't know. For some reason, that just struck a chord and made me be in that moment of being at a concert that I really enjoy. I think it's a cool moment, and I think it's something hard to put into words. And I'm glad that you picked up on it too, Pam, because it's a different kind of music. It's a different relationship that you have with the author or the lyricist, the band, whoever is up on stage at the time. And it's a moment in your life. It's something that you. For me, I keep the ticket stubs. I remember those moments, and I try to kind of capture that again. And I appreciate how that was done here. Also, what you said, Pam, in terms of the political jabs, the social commentary that Dylan was brave enough to do, especially during turbulent times in the early on in his career, I think there's an allusion to that, a nod to that, which is very poignant. It's something that definitely created him as being a powerful lyricist. And I think the nod here, the social commentary and the nod here in this poem to that effort of his is well received. I really am a big fan of assonance, consonants, alliteration, and internal rhyme. And I think KBAB did that here very well. I really appreciated the single lines. The several instances of internal rhyme, because it always brings a smile to my face. I like the added effort when poets are very conscious of their words and it flows so well. So great write.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And yeah, I tell you, some of the best concerts are the outdoor ones. Like they have in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, they have this festival. It's a 3-day festival where you can see all different kinds of. Usually, it's like rock bands, heavy metal, that lasts like 3 days, and But I like the outdoor ones myself. I haven't actually seen a whole, I've only actually been to like, I think, two indoor concerts because I'm just too claustrophobic most of the time to be around that many people unless I'm out in the open, you know. But very cool comment.
Pammy, I already told you that me and Faizy are heading your way to go to Hibbing. You don't have to keep selling it. We'll go to the concert, then we're heading up to get high in Hibbing. No problem. It's inked. Consider it done.
Well, yeah, and you know, since we're going to be so close, we might as well go ahead and pick up Dexter in St. Paul, too, or wherever he is, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Right, Faizy?
The more the merrier. The more the merrier.
I like it. I like it. And Faizy, your thoughts?
Well, I'm with you, Pam, on the I can't handle the indoor concerts very well. but festivals, I can take on. So let's go to a festival and convince Bob Dylan to be there. I don't know if he still performs, actually, but he's a little mumbly in his older age. I really liked the line about the clouds, which I know was already pointed out, the nimbus noise of napalm clouds. First of all, it has the alliteration, the nimbus noise of napalm, but nimbus, as being that kind of atmosphere, works well for the atmosphere of a concert, but it also works well for, like, the cloudiness of the clouds and the napalm reference, but it also is that glow that's like a halo around like a holy figure. And, you know, a lot of people looked up to Dylan, and also he had hair that kind of creates like a nimbus around his head. So I can just picture in the lights of the concert, he has like this glow around him, and it just feels like magical. And the napalm clouds, like, on the one hand, I think that is because he was criticizing things like war, but also I think it's like his noise was like napalm in that it was, like, hitting the crowd and people were, like, overwhelmed by the music, like, washing over them and lost in his lyrics. Because then it goes on with turning shadows with holy shrouds. So the holy shroud goes well with the nimbus being like that holy light around him. And the running wild to find their cover, like, so cover from napalm, if they in the war reference. There's cover as in the cover of the album that they want, like the special edition that they can maybe get signed or something like that. There's cover as in if it's raining out and they need to all huddle together under little tents or blankets or whatever it is at the festival. And then, you know, under the covers, there tends to be other things happening at festivals. So it's just like there's multiple ways that you can take many, many of these lines. I think a lot of thought went into making this work on multiple levels.
Those are some really cool observations there. I like how you noticed the multiple levels. And you know, as you were saying each of them, I was nodding my head and grinning and going, oh, my goodness, she's right. You can definitely see the layeredness of the word choices. So very cool there. Yeah. All right. Well, great. Great poetry we've had tonight so far, and we'll keep going forward. So up next we have Love's Farmyard Residue by Just Elliot Six, and it goes like this. In a rustic barn where secrets may reside, the farmer's daughter and a stranger did confide their midnight rendezvous hidden from view, but fate had a plan, their romance it would undo. The daughter with eyes like embers burning bright invited the traveler to the barn that moonlit night. Passion ignited, desires aflame, but little did they know the farmer was ready for the game. Decked in Gucci attire, the stranger stood tall, a Rolex on his wrist, an illusion to enthrall. The farmer, a cautious man, saw trouble at hand, mistaking the boy for a traveling salesman. With swift determination, the chase did begin. Across the farm, a frantic scene did spin. The boy darted through horses' stalls, swift as the wind, while the father pursued, his patience wearing thin. Amidst the cows with their hooves pounding the ground, the boy weaved and dodged, no trace to be found. But fate with its humor took an unforeseen turn, for the boy stumbled, his footing did spurn. In a comedic twist, he fell face first in muck. Cow manure embraced him like some wretched luck. With a mixture of disgust and newfound clarity, the farmer approached his anger with no charity. The boy now humbled rose with dignity askew, desperately trying to convince the farmer, oh, so true. "I'm not a salesman, sir," the boy did profess. "I'm a doctor, a gynecologist." But the farmer unyielding could not be deceived. His daughter's honor he fiercely believed. The boy in his Gucci could not escape his fate, and the farmer's wrath he would not escape. As for the farmer, whose duty was fulfilled, his daughter's innocence he had willed, and the boy covered in manure learned a lesson anew, that love's embrace can sometimes lead to a farmyard residue. End poem. And I like the humor in this, and I don't know, Jeremy, I can kind of picture you going to some farmer. "I'm not a salesman, sir. I'm a doctor, a gynecologist."
No one would believe me. No one would believe that I have any kind of doctorate at all.
Yeah. But no, I liked the humor in this, and he was inspired by the song "Motorcycle Nightmare," which, if you've never had a chance to read the lyrics of that song, I highly recommend it, because it's just some of the funniest lyrics. It reads like just basically one big long joke about a farmer's daughter. So. Yeah, and Faisy, your thoughts on the poem?
I thought it was fun. That twist of him trying to pretend he was a gynecologist was hilarious. You know, it could have been a frightening scene, except the way that it was worded made it so funny. And there's something kind of creepy about that last line, "lead to a farmyard residue," like. Well, all he's left is the residue. That last line is a little bit tough to swallow. But the contrast of, like, the fancy Gucci attire and the farmer who's probably dressed a little rougher in that chase is really interesting. But it's actually really sad, because, like, the farmer's daughter, like, liked this person. He wasn't hurting her. So, really, he's just respecting the daughter and the person. So, I have mixed feelings, but at the same time, it's hilarious. I thought it was really well done in its storytelling. There's this song that's like, "My daddy's got a gun, my daddy's got a gun, my daddy's got a gun, you better run." And that's all I can think about. this guy's like, you know, intense, kind of like old school dad picturing, but it's really fun the way that it was written, and it had a rhyme and a rhythm that made it that light kind of feel, despite the fact that it's like, it's pretty violent, but it has like this like bounciness to it, which makes it fun.
It does. It really balances it out, you know, because, yeah, if it wasn't for the humor and the bounciness in it, as you mentioned, it could be seen as a rather dark piece, you know, kind of like the whole, like, the hills have eyes or something like that creepiness. But, yeah, wonderful comment. And, Jeremy, your thoughts?
See, I love having shows with Fazy because not only once, Pam, but twice she has sang a couple bars. I love it, Fazy. Keep it going. And, yeah, everything that she said, I totally agree with. I mean, I love poems that have a story to them. I mean, they just feel so – and this isn't going to come out right, but they feel nursery rhymey to me. They feel like home. They feel comfortable. Even when, again, like what Fazy said, where it could have a darker tone, this doesn't. It always feels lighthearted, and I felt like the spirit of it was definitely supposed to be comical. But the rhyme and the storytelling just feels – when it comes to poetry, it just feels comfortable. And maybe it's because I grew up on like a Shel Silverstein, Dr. Seuss diet, and I love when poems go somewhere. I love when poems have a great meter. I love when poems rhyme because of the effort, because it's a story, it's a song, it's an experience, it's an emotion, all captured in short measure, which all poetry should do, but the fact that it has a journey as well, it takes me back. It takes me back to a childhood feel, and I always smile. I like that Dylan is inspired. I think this is the second poem. I don't know if it was Randy's poem right out of the jump, but this is the second time that Dylan has inspired Gucci to come in, which I never imagined that would come to pass. But maybe he's much more of a Gucci fan than I know of Dylan. But, yeah, Elliot, this was a great ride. I really enjoyed every part of it. Especially for the journey. So, well done.
Absolutely, yeah. I have to agree. And same here with growing up with, Dr. Susan Shel Silverstein. And it really, it feels like a comfortable, like slipping on a comfortable, familiar sweater. I'm just happy I actually learned at some point in my life how to pronounce the word Gucci. So, that worked well. But, yeah, I like the... I like the dark, twisted sense of humor in this. How it's a love story, but it's a love story that comes with humor and danger. Of course, I like, amidst the cows with their hooves pounding the ground, the boy weaved and dodged a trail trace to be found, but fate with its humor took an unforeseen turn, for the boy stumbled, his footing did spurn. You know, wonderful, wonderful lines there all the way through, and just a great, great fun and excellent storytelling. So thank you, Elliot. I'm glad you were inspired. And up next we have A Hard Woman Is Gonna Fall by Jenny the Deep. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So let me mosey on over there. And here we go.
A hard woman is gonna fall. Betrayed, the ones I loved. Her lies were worse. What did I see with my brown eyes? I saw her blue eyes gawking over him. Funny at first. Now I realize what she's doing is wrong. With another, betrayed. Forgive, I hope they can. I did the enabling. But now I am regretting loss. I hope my blue-eyed friend can understand. In the end, I hope they all can. It's hard to stop others. Family should forgive. Forget. Never will we. We all saw through your lies. To save you, we kept it inside. Now it's time to cut ties with him. Decide. It's your family or that guy. Do what's right. Step aside. Help us to forget. Sister, what did you do? I can't decide for you. I walked beside you too long. Time for me to walk away from your path. Climbing stone mountains, I atone. Can't watch you dig your grave. Come back to us, sister. End poem.
Great read and write there, Jenny. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, The next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Jeremy, your thoughts on Jenny's poem?
Yeah, Jenny's a friend of the show. I remember talking to her, and I am a fan. I love this on a number of different levels. First of all, the recording. I like the recording, and I like the fact that it sounded like there was something going on in the background of all this. So it was all kind of like, because of the performance, it felt like it was kind of, I'm going to say it wrong, Jenny, and I hope I'm getting your intentions right. But it felt like you were like, we were gossiping at a party. Like something was going on, and we were over in a corner, and you were telling me what was really going on. Like the real story was something that was amongst the craziness, I was getting the inside scoop of what the backstory was. And so I really liked that performance, and I hope that was the intention. Format. I'm a huge format nerd, and I really dig this one. I like the beginning of each stanza. I like the repetition at the top and bottom of each little stanza. I like that they bubble up. I like that the emotions, because of the shape of this poem, are a bubbling. It's a percolation of intensity. And the story is very intriguing. It's very telenovela. It's very there's betrayal. There's family. There's hate. There's vengeance. It's the days of our lives. So flow the sands of our lives through the hourglass. I dig it. It's intense and it carries it. And I'm not saying that in a tongue-in-cheek way, even though I'm giggling while I'm saying it, because the emotion of it felt real. So. Wonderful, Jenny. Love your poetry. This one's well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Faisy, your thoughts?
I was also a fan of the formatting. It's really neat how each stanza creates that, I was going to say diamond, but diamond isn't right. It's like a top kind of thing. And then when you put it all together, it's just really beautiful. That seems like a big challenge to do that I haven't really put to myself, so I'm going to try that. It also has each stanza begin and end with the same word, which really puts emphasis on what that stanza is about. Betrayed, forgive, forget, sister. The stanza is framed with those words, so you know that like that is the focus of that section. And I like that it delves into being betrayed as kind of like a secondary betrayal, because when someone messes up a relationship with, it sounds like cheating in this, it doesn't just affect the two people in the relationship. So I could be wrong, but I'm thinking this is like a sister-in-law. So potentially if Jenny is the character, then Jenny's brother's wife, I guess, would be cheating on him, and she can see that it's happening, and she has let it go too long, and now she feels guilty for that because she hasn't done anything about it. But the thing is, it's not just him who's hurt by it. She feels betrayed as well, and betrayed by being put in that position, as well as the family being betrayed. And it's like you lose your friend. You're losing your sister. She's you know, messing up her family in a way that now she's not going to have the sister-in-law who she has come to love. So the betrayal kind of gets into the fact that it goes beyond. Collateral damage, not just the specific person. And then forgiveness, and how that, again, has to come from more people than just the one. And forgetting is harder than forgiving, even more. Even when you decide you're going to get past it, it still lingers there. And then sister, because no matter what has happened, it still feels like this person is a sister, and wishing that they would come back and be like a sister again. So I thought that this was really thoughtful and there's a tenderness to it. Even though she's upset, it's not like necessarily anger. It's the can't watch you dig your own grave, which can be true of many things. You know, if someone is an addict, and sometimes you, no matter how much you love them, you can't stand to be around it. And this is just a really in-depth kind of look at what it's like to be on the sidelines.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Great observation there, and I noticed that too. You know, it is that kind of like having to have that tough love and know when it's time to walk away from a situation or a person. You know, and I like, this is actually the second poem of Jenny's I've seen tonight, written in this rectometer style, which is, I think, a style that I've tried similar forms to this, but I don't know if I've tried this exact form, and I think I'd like to. It looks like an interesting one to try because it depends on syllable count. And I like how this speaks, like each one starts with that single word, betrayed, forgive, forget, sister. And, you know, as Faisy was pointing out, a sister can be a biological sister, but it can also be, you know, a sister-in-law or a friend who's like a sister. And I thought this was, you know, heartfelt. It was emotive. There was strong lines speaking on the idea of knowing that, you know, that you don't want to condone, you don't want to accept somebody's behavior. You need to distance yourself from it. But at the same time, you need to acknowledge that you still care about them. You still love them. Forgive. I hope they can. I did the enabling, but now I am regretting a lot. I hope my blue-eyed friend can understand in the end. I hope they all can. It's hard to stop others. Family should forgive. And oftentimes, it's so difficult when you're the last person to let go. When, you know, and it's difficult because when you're the last person to let go of a friendship after everybody else already has, you know, you almost feel this, like, sense of guilt. And within those lines, I think Jenny has done a wonderful job of capturing that thought. So, excellent to write and very well done. All right. Let's see what we have next. Oh, I see Silent Tree on the board. And hello, Silent Tree. Good to see you. All right. And up next, we have Full Disclosure on Lowest Tides Ever by Eric Svensson. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
Full Disclosure on Lowest Tide Ever. Oh, how to turn around the tide. Reverse napalm's orange dragon tongues, rewind atomic bombs merrily whistling down, gypsy rovers rain down on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, play back time, rewind, reverse. Oh, how to turn around the tide, gear back from top to neutral, Top Gun fame and glory, mystical stars and stripes, flag sags, tattered, torn, fawn forlorn, exhaust brakes fail, hellish lament, cement karmic repercussions. Oh, how to turn around the tide, asked a blue-eyed sun with no snide intent. Darling, one ducked sniper bullets in his time, refused parachute battalion wings upon his chest, endured chagrin, disdain and ridicule. Darling, this one chose to become a medical officer, to save the wounded, mended blasted limbs, love, even lust in the South African war against commies in Angola. Oh, how to face up to deeds done, blue-eyed sun fights beside you, fans, insights, dragon flames, to incinerate blame games, accountability, responsibility, and hopefully sustainable stability. And it's hard, it's hard, it's hard, and it's hard. It's a hard reckoning day falling for all earthlings. Now that all flags fly tattered, torn and forlorn, most presidents, like Moses, view a promised land they'll never enter. Karmic Red Sea refuses to part. Illuminati, cabal, and deep state won't allow Egyptian slaves to escape. Oh, how to turn around the tide, reverse conditioning of blood, sweat, and tears, rewind subliminal mind entrainment. Jitterbug puppets, we're still lambs willingly to the slaughter led. Play back time, insert the correct tape. Rewind, choose life, not murder and mayhem. Reverse, each curse and cuss becomes authentic kindness and kingship. And it's hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard, it's a hard reckoning day falling for all earthlings. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. And thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Wow, this is quite the epic write. Just powerful imagery and metaphors. You know, I really enjoy listening to Eric read, but I especially enjoy when he gets into a part where he's at a bit of the song, like, you know, and it's hard and it's hard, and you can just hear the bit of singing that comes into his voice. I thought this made, it had wonderful imagery and metaphors. It had great use of alliteration, which I think always adds a nice touch to Eric's poetry. I like the social commentary in this and how it speaks on what it's like to go to war and what it's like to answer to that feeling of guilt. And how to, how to almost combat the war itself and to make ourselves feel better about our choices. Like, and I think that really comes through in where he says, oh, how to turn around the tide, asks a blue-eyed son with no snide intent. Darling one ducked sniper bullets in his time, refused parachute battalion wings upon his chest, endangered chagrin, disdain, and ridicule. Darling, this one chose to become a medical officer to save the wounded, you know. And I like that thought there, the idea that, yeah, you know, unfortunately war does happen, but and we don't always get a choice, but sometimes we do. And sometimes, we can choose to go into something where, you know, a way of healing people. I really like Rewind Subliminal Mind Enters Entrainment, Jitterbug Puppets Were Still Lambs Willing to the Slaughter Led, playing playback time, insert the correct tape. You know, it's like almost like this disconnect from reality of trying to convince yourself of that things didn't happen the way that they did. And of course, I really like the phrase, jitterbug puppets were still lambs willingly to the slaughter led. Like, strong imagery and metaphors all the way through, and a really emotive look at the way war and violence tears the world apart, and yet there is this sense of hope that we could still possibly hold on to some of our humanity amongst the murder and the mayhem. So excellent write and very well done. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yes, I think at face value, everything, a lot of things that we've already said are true to this poem as well. I like how Eric does the Dylan-esque tribute. Again, we see napalm, we see the political message coming through. We see the sing-song nods and repetition and lyrical feel of all of this. I think that Eric did a wonderful job of making this a Dylan tribute. I really like a couple of the lines that you already pointed out, Pam. I liked, dagnabbit, I had it already. I liked the jitterbug puppets. I also liked the earlier one that you said, and I can't find it, but I dug that one too. It doesn't matter. My favorite line was hellish laments cement karmic repercussions. A lot of fun. But all right, Eric, it's been a minute since I've said this, so I'm going to say it again because I have to say it every time I hear your voice. Eric is fucking with us, everyone, and I can't keep up. I love his poetry because, all right, Eric, let me just describe what just happened while you were reading this poem. I am feverishly going into the internet trying to figure out why you capitalized refused parachute battalion wings. I'm hitting PBW over and over again trying to figure out what you're doing because you're in my head so much with all this wordplay, all these nods, all these innuendos, all this double tag back and forth that I get so lost in smiles with Eric's poetry that I just can't help myself. So it's always a delight because he spends so much time with that added effort with nuance and all of his lines that those of us that like to play the Eric Svensson game, we're hook, line, and sinker every time. So this was a joy, Eric, for first of all the obvious reasons, but also because of your signature style. I am always going to do it with a smile on my face. So wonderful read.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Faisy, your thoughts?
I really liked the section, Fans' insights, dragon flames to incinerate blame games, accountability, responsibility, and hopefully sustainable stability. I thought that was really interesting that, you know, you're trying to figure out who, if you did the right thing, and, you know, who's the enemy, and if you maybe are to blame for some of the stuff that happens. And insight is there playing the blame games, but, you know, also if you can fan those flames and incinerate the blame games, get rid of them, not think about it. That line just has so many complicated things that make me want to, like, think about things. And then just the flow of accountability, responsibility, hopefully sustainable stability. I mean, there's lots of the rhymes of the illities, but sustainable stability is something that's definitely a goal when you're, you know, the unfortunate thing of war that we don't want to ever happen. Hopefully at the end of it, if you make some stability, you do it in such a way that is sustainable. It's going to stay that way. It's not going to just be a back and forth of an eye for an eye. And trying to get past the blame games can help with that. This has a lot of references to the past. I mean, like, way in the past, Moses and the Red Sea and the Egyptians and But it jumps from, like, Illuminati and Cabal and Deep State. There's quite the jumping around there, and it's, like, almost conspiracy theory kind of stuff in that line. It's really interesting that would be put in amongst this other stuff. It just, that little section kind of took me by surprise. This is a lot to absorb in this. I thought it was really interesting, and it was nice that he made a SoundCloud.
It was, and you know what? I have to agree with you that Eric definitely oftentimes offers up a lot of food for thought in his poetry and the references that he brings into it. So great comment.
You know why that caught you by surprise, Fazy? Is because perpetually, Eric is effing with us every time, and I love him for it.
That probably is it. I always like to think there's a deeper reason, but yeah, probably pretty much, like you said, Eric's just effing with us. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, up next we have God Does the Deals by Garanwi and Jeremy. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. God Does the Deals by Garanwi. I've just got old. It doesn't matter who I am. I've lost my ideals of peace, love and hope and body bags on the last road to war. Never ask questions about what you don't know. The answers will scare you, and God will not tell. The side that he's chosen and who's won the game, the winners, the losers, it's all believe he's the same. They can't see the joke that's made in beliefs, stolen with bullets and Bibles by pulpits of thieves. With pieces of silver, Iskarot deals and kiss on the cheek, become baptized or martyred in the blood and some prayer. And the words from an old book, propaganda of lies, preaching forgiveness with the crossed fingers and faith, strong in the knowledge that God's on their side. And poem.
Great read there, Jeremy. And as always, a very impressive write by Garanwi. And Fazy, your thoughts?
I liked the line, stolen with bullets in Bibles by pulpits of thieves. Because, you know, people often use religion as an excuse to do things, to go to war, to colonize. There's so many different things that, you know, it's not necessarily what the Bible would say, but the people kind of claim it as their own, the pulpits of thieves, and they use it as a way to justify their fight, and that gets people riled up. You know, it gets them more soldiers, it gets them there's something about when you really believe that you're in the right in a war, then it gives you a sort of power where you're not afraid because you think, you know, you're invincible because God is on your side. And I think that it can be that both sides think that, and it just becomes a problem. With pieces of silver, that's another biblical reference, because the silver that Judas got for betraying. And where is the other part? Preaching forgiveness with crossed fingers and faith. So crossed fingers, sometimes it's like good luck thing, but also there's that, like, if you cross them behind your back when you lie. I don't know how that became a thing, but I swear when we were kids, if you were lying, you would cross your fingers behind your back, and it's like kind of like warding off the problems of lying. It was, I don't know if that was just me, but it was a thing that we did when we were kids. Is if you lied, you crossed your fingers. So like maybe it was like supposed to protect you from the sin. I don't know. But those crossed fingers are not showing true forgiveness. And there's just something interesting about the way that is portrayed with the peace, love, and hope in body bags. So this is a cynical piece, which I quite enjoy as a cynical person myself, it's very critical. And I think that Dylan, no matter what his beliefs were, I'm not familiar, was kind of critical of everything. He was not like in a complaining kind of way, but in a thoughtful kind of way, that he would look at things and be skeptical and point out things and not be afraid to point out whatever he was thinking about. So I'm actually not familiar with the song with God on their side, but this makes me feel like it was kind of a almost satirical kind of song where it's criticizing the way that everyone thinks God is on their side, and that can't always be the case, that all sides are right.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I'm not familiar with the song myself either. I'll have to look up the lyrics, but I could definitely see that. And I like what you had to say about the cynicism in this right, and the criticism of people, you know, who proclaim being right and proclaim this faith, hide it, you know, like behind their backs, their crossed fingers. And we did the same thing when I was a kid. We did the same thing. I don't know why we didn't get to the point where we just started saying to people, you know, answer the question with your hands in front of you. You know, like,
we did but, that too.
Right? But yeah, if I remember correctly, Bob Dylan was raised Jewish. But I kind of think, if I remember right, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this, he kind of just, like, he still retained parts of his Jewish faith, but also kind of expanded into other beliefs, too, if that makes sense. Like, found something that worked for him. And definitely, you can see in a lot of his writing that criticism of society, of hypocrisy and oftentimes that comes with religion. So great observations. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yes, ladies. Fingers crossed is definitely a thing. Like this whole story about me picking up Daisy in a Winnebago and coming up to visit Pam, my fingers were crossed the whole time, so none of it counts. But the,
oh,
but,
man.
But
you're not actually coming to get me. I'm devastated.
Yeah,
right. No, it's definitely a thing. No, I think the way you guys broke this down was beautiful. I think it's true. I think a lot of it is true. I think you guys nailed a lot of it. A lot of the nuance that definitely went over my head. I think to attack religion is a dangerous game, but there's ways to do it with class. And I think there's definitely ways to question anything. And I think what Anthony did in this one does just that. I think you can rage against the machine in the right way without being belligerent, without being ignorant in your own claims. And I think the way that you guys broke this down, especially with all the religious nods, make this respectful in a lot of ways, and make it more palatable, and it makes me want to listen to the words. I think it's put together in relatively short time, but it still packs a poignant punch. So I think it fits in tonight's theme beautifully. I think it's very Dylan-esque and very well received. So great write.
Oh, definitely, for sure. Yeah, I do like the punch that this one packs. Strong imagery throughout. I really like, they can't see the joke that's made in beliefs, stolen with bullets and Bibles by pulpits of thieves, with pieces of silver Iscariot deals, and a kiss on the cheek, coming baptized or martyred in blood and some prayer and words from an old book, a propaganda of lies. You know, this definitely takes a look at the hypocrisy that oftentimes comes with religion. I also really like where he says, the winners, losers all believe he's the same. You know, wonderful, wonderful thought-provoking lines on the idea of, you know, when do we take religion too far? And often it comes when you know, what we say and what we do contradict each other, at least in my thoughts. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, and let's see what we have next. We have Dylan Did Dash by Ima Rima and Fazy. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Dylan Did Dash by Ima Rima. I'm just a simple farmer dad. Got daughter Rita, who is wild. She's guy crazy, makes me so mad. I try my best to shield my child. A lot of guys come to my farm. Traveling salesmen are the worst. But any guy rings my alarm, because he sees Rita, I am cursed. Rita's going to flirt with him and coax him into having fun. Though my solution does sound grim, no guy does choose to face my gun. A lot of horny guys show up, even horny Bob Dylan. Yep.
Oh, great read there. I don't know. There's something about that end line. Even horny Bob Dylan. Yep. That just, I don't know, cracks me up. But great read. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Where is this Rita? How do I get a hold of her? She sounds like a good time. She sounds like she's at a party. No, this is fun. It's fun in short measure. It made me giggle. And, yeah, that ending line, even horny Bob Dylan, yup. No, it's Ima Rima did a great job. Again, just as a fun, whimsical write, hitting all the high points. I think we talked about the storied farmer's daughter earlier, and this does it in much shorter measure, but I still got a smile to it, and I think that's was what Ima Rima was going for. So I say mission accomplished.
Absolutely, yes. Ima Rima does seem to have a signature style, which he seems like he tends to usually stick to some form of a sonnet with the rhyme scheme and the meter. I like that he brought in, he actually gave the farmer's daughter a name, Rita. I thought that was cool. Fun lines, great dark humor. And, you know, of course, I like that ending couplet, but also traveling salesmen are the worst, you know. But any guy rings my alarm because he sees Rita, I am cursed. So definitely a smile-inducing write. And Fazy, your thoughts?
It was fun to read. I especially liked the yup at the end. Fun to do. It always amuses me when a classical form like a sonnet is used in such a contemporary way. Just like the language and the sense of humor is just not what I would like normally associate with a sonnet, but I like that. It's a fun twist. I can't remember. Sorry, there was something I wanted to point out, and I've lost it. But it was very fun to read.
Yeah, absolutely, and you did a great read of that. And yeah, I like it too, and because it's so unexpected when somebody uses a sonnet. And with contemporary language. So very cool. All right. Well, up next we have Cell Block Number 9 by Papa Terminus. And it goes like this. Scratching and clawing until our fingertips become raw and bloodied in need of spoons to break ground. Keys jingle against the bars. Still the tumblers of the lock are rusted and stuck. And prison guards stand outside. They're twiddling their thumbs, waiting till thy kingdom come. Out in a field I saw Virgin Mary gathering pretty flowers. She's making bouquets of pistols and daisies. Still it's raining on a spring day. Behind these iron bars were all devils, handsome and well-dressed men, waiting on the warden to act as a diplomat. when Bobby Dylan sang the blues while he wore his flared jeans, his guitar string snapped while on the stage. Still, those cage birds are singing a round of a tambourine still jingles on cell block number 9, end poem. And just a wonderful write by Papa Terminus. I'm really glad he was inspired. And Faisy, your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. Keys jingle against the bars. Still the tumblers of the lock are rusted and stuck. So there's like that music that you make out of bad situation. Sometimes you have to turn anything you hear into music, because in prison, I imagine, music's not really a thing that they get, and if it is, they don't have control over what's on. So it's not even like they can make it themselves. The keys, they wouldn't have keys except for the guards. So you got to turn that sound of the guards walking away into the music of a little bit of freedom, because they're not right in front of you anymore. It really shows the creativity of it all. Behind these iron bars were all devils, handsome and well-dressed men. And that makes me curious. Is it talking about we're all the devils, handsome and well-dressed men? Because of the way that the apostrophe is, it's like the devil possesses them. Or are they the devils? It could kind of go either way, or both. And the sound of a tambourine still jingles. So, again, that key is just making them imagine it, and you put yourself where you need to in your mind to survive. And music, like maybe Dylan's music, keeps you going.
Yeah, I like that thought. I like that thought about the idea of how, you know, putting yourself in that state of mind where you, that you can, you know, escape from the despair of the moment. So, very cool. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to start with what Randy said at the bottom. I'll paraphrase a little bit. Subterranean Homesick Blues as an inspiration for this poem, although the melody is much more Tambourine Man, to be honest. I also was inspired by Johnny 99 from Springsteen, who is extremely influenced by Dylan. I really didn't know any poet who has not borrowed nor reworded a lyric of Dylan's songs, especially Blown Wind, Rain Day and Woman. But Dylan is still alive and kicking with every poem written. It's all about his influence, not only the world of music, but take away his guitar, and he is a gifted poet. And I think that's so true. And I really love that Randall talked about that, because if you remember, Pam, a lot of times on the old show we would ask who are your favorite poets, and a lot of times people would go to Dylan as a lyricist. And I like that nod is put at the end of this poem. I love Faisy's analysis of this as well. I mean, it felt very take away Dylan and put in Johnny Cash, and this is very Folsom Blues. I mean, it's all of that hard knock life that living behind bars has, and I like that. But especially what I like about this poem, with everything we talked about tonight, I like that Papa Terminus, that Randall made that extra nod to Dylan in his author's note. So, well written.
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And, yeah, that does make a difference, because, yeah, it's great to have those kind of author notes that let you go more in depth and into the write itself. And, yeah, this was definitely a great nod to Bob Dylan's style, but as you were mentioning also, it has that kind of that Johnny Cash feel too. I really like the lines, out in a field I saw Virgin Mary is gathering pretty flowers. She makes bouquets of pistils and daisies. Still it's raining on a spring day. You know, there's that idea of finding hope you know, but it's so far off in the distance, and it's mixed with the violence experienced within life. I also like that he said Bobby Dylan instead of Bob Dylan, because I feel like for some reason that really worked well with the tone of the song. And of course, the nod to the tambourine I thought was great. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, let's see what we have next. My roommate, he does prison. What do you call that? He does missionary work for prisoners. Like he does Bible studies, and he plays guitar and he sings. And the prison, men's prison that he goes to, is in Washburn County. So he wrote this song that he plays on his guitar called Washburn County Blues. And he plays it all the time for the guy's Bible study. And the last time they were wrapping things up without playing the Washburn County Blues. And immediately the guys were like, what? No Washburn County Blues? So I you told me that story, and I thought that was pretty cool, you know. And anyway, just a tidbit little story there that Wright made me think of. And up next we have Dylan by Swimmer of Seas. And Jeremy, will you give that a read for us, please?
Pam, you can't call your cellmate your roommate. We know that you're all locked up, and we know that you're the one that's begging for more music during chow time. We know your story.
Well, yeah, that's why I have so much time to write poetry and do poetry shows, because there isn't really a whole lot. You know, it's either that or be somebody's bitch, and, well, I prefer poetry.
Good choice. Okay, here we go. Dylan by Swimmer of Seas. Saw fever in an alleyway. Her name I'd never know. Heard the Clancy's sing the Galway Shaw in a bar in Idaho. Drank whiskey from her navel after hours in a bar. Heard the sound of my breathing through the lungs of your guitar. Heard the seagull sing blues from the deck of a fishing boat. Heard Mississippi for the first time. Thought that she was all she wrote. Sailed out Delacroix on the edge of a lucid dream. Saw melodic memories float by a frozen stream. And lightning's just a broken string on Horizon's air guitar. Cloudy lyrics fall as rain through the windscreen of my car. There's always a new town, a new girl, and you. Trying hard to unpick life tangled up in blue. End poem.
Great read there, Jeremy, and wonderful write by Swimmer of Seas. I was glad to see that he was inspired, and I see that this was a front page pick just 6 hours ago, so congratulations to him on that. And Faizy, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. Soft fever and didn't know her name, so it's like someone hot. Someone who made him hot. I like the idea of fever being the way that they're described. And then heard the sound of my breathing through the lungs of your guitar. That is a really interesting phrasing. I like that. And then the seagull singing the blues. So this is almost like the prison one, where you're turning everything into music because that's just what's around you, and you're using your imagination. I love the idea of like hearing the seagulls and kind of like turning that into the song as you're on that boat, thinking about the music that you like, or maybe making up some new songs, just taking the sounds that are around you. To see melodic memories. So, like, you know, melodic is generally something you hear, But to see those memories in a stream is really interesting, because it also says a frozen stream. So a stream is moving, but not a frozen stream. So for them to float by when it's frozen is really interesting. It's like you're staring at the ice and you're seeing the little designs in the ice, and those memories are brought to life. And maybe you're associating a melody with what you're imagining. There's some really interesting word choices like that, where you're crossing the senses. And I appreciate that, because my senses are all mixed up, and sometimes memories are linked to senses in a strange way. So I thought this was really a well-done piece, short lines, but they are purposeful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. Like you said, short, purposeful, impactful lines, and the great, like as you were mentioning, great interplay between and mix up between the different, ways we connect with things. So very cool comment. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Great analysis, Paisley. Yeah, no, and it's punchy, and I like little punchy poems, and I love the fact that this got the nod, the recognition of being front page, because it deserves it very much so. It trickles down the page. Sometimes you look at poems with, like we talked about earlier, format. You look at the length of a poem, and it's almost intimidating, but this one definitely dances down the page, and especially when we're talking about a tribute to someone like Dylan, it's so apropos. And thank goodness I finally have the musical savvy to know which song this one was attributed to in Entangled Up in Blues. And it does exactly the sing-songy feel of that. I love all the nuance. I love all of the references to geographical spots. That makes it more personal for me. It makes it feel more homey, even if I haven't spent a lot of time in Mississippi. Or been down south near the Delacroix, or any of that. It still feels like I'm included in the conversation for some reason. I don't even know if that makes sense, guys, but I like it when geography is included, because it makes it feel more personal, and it makes me feel like I'm getting an insight and I'm being included into the secret, into the emotion, into what we're trying to do here. So, well done, Swimmer. It was a joy, and it was a cool take on Dylan that we haven't really delve into as much, because I think that that Swimmer was able to go a little more in terms of pace. He was able to have that lyrical feel, so even if it's not as literal as like I said, as literally lyrical in Dylan's style, it definitely had the Dylan tune, the Dylan heartbeat, the Dylan pace, which I enjoyed.
Absolutely. Were you then talking, Jeremy, or no, you didn't drop? Okay.
I was done. Sorry.
Okay. It would just seem like all of a sudden you were just cut off, so I wasn't quite sure. But great comment there. Yeah, I like this. I like how it has almost, if somebody has mixed together surrealism and blues. It has that wonderful lyrical quality. Great references to blues music. I like what Faisy had to say about Saw Fever in an Alleyway. Her name, I'd never know that idea of seeing someone who's hot and beautiful. It also made me think of that song Fever. And immediately when I think of that song, I think of the version of Peggy Lee singing it. But I know it's been done over and over again by many people. And I really like Drank Whiskey from Her Navel After Hours in a Bar. Heard the sound of my breathing through the lungs of your guitar. I feel like those lines there, the through the lungs of your guitar, speak on the way that music connects with the human soul, you know, and with the mind, with the heart, and the idea how music is all over, and it brings us back to those that home, that, you know, whether the home is Mississippi or wherever you come from. And I do like that personal touch. I do think there is, there must be a song about Mississippi blues. I'm pretty sure. I mean, if there isn't, there should be, you know. I really like Sailed Out to Delacroix on the Edge of a Lucid Dream, Saw Melodic Memories Float by a Frozen Stream, and Lightning Just a Broken String on Horizon's Air Guitar. I like the whole, tripping on shrooms vibe that this gives me, and the idea of how sometimes it's those brief moments in life that really get us all tangled up in emotions. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, let's see what we have next. Doo-doo-doo.
You know, you have such a proper voice, Pam, that it always kills me when you say things like tripping on shrooms. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to throw people off like that. You know. Now, if only I could perfect that British accent, I'd really sound proper.
It's funny because in BC, shrooms are, super common, because they grow here. So, it's pretty ordinary for someone to be into shrooms, but my parents who live in Ontario had never thought of such a thing, so they were here and they're just meeting, I guess it was my ex-boyfriend's family, and the first day they're oh, have you tried the shrooms that are local here? And they're thinking it's just regular mushrooms, and they're oh, it's the best high. And my mom was just what?
Oh, my God.
So as soon as you said that, I was just picturing my mom's face of, horror. Are we going to get high right now?
I could imagine it. Oh, my gosh, that is funny. All right. Well, up next we have Crash Down on the Levee by Marriott Dark and Faisy. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Crash Down on the Levee by Marriott Dark. Plane crash on the levee, water's on the rise. Now it's raining harder, a knife slash across the skies. Catch a train to Delaware, we're going to make a point. And spread the word in Google search, we're going to rip this joint. So take a leaf out of any book and kill the sacred cow. Time to board old Noah's Ark and stand defiant on the prow. Keep your counsel to yourself. There's nothing you have to prove. While the flood is rising still, the water's on the move. Now it's tit for tat and go for broke. Your head is in a spin. Down to the levee is where it's at. It's time to dive right in. So take a leaf out of any book and kill the sacred cow. Time to board old Noah's Ark and stand defiant on the prow. Now the tide is on the rise. This world is upside down. Pack your bags. It's time to leave before you slip and drown. Now it's like for like and quid quo pro. You gotta give till it hurts before you can let go. So take a leaf out of any book and kill the sacred cow. Time to board old Noah's Ark and stand defiant on the prow. And poem.
Great lead there, Faisy. And I have to give you guys a warning. If you suddenly hear me scream, it's because there's a beetle flying around my room. And if that thing touches me, I am screaming. I hate those nasty little things. All right. But with that being said, I love the imagery and the rhyme and flow in this. It's got such a great beat and vibe. He was inspired by the song Crash on the Levee, which I have to say I'm not really familiar with that song. Though a lot of times if I hear a song, I'll then go, oh, yes, I know that one. But I almost feel like this has such a great lyrical quality that, you know, if it isn't a parody, it's awfully close to being one. I really like the lines Keep your counsel to yourself. There's nothing you have to prove. While the flood is still rising still, the water's on the move. Now it's tit for tat and go for broke. Your head is in a spin. Down to the levee is where it's at. It's time to dive right in. So take a leaf out of any book and kill the sacred cow. Time to board old Noah's Ark and stand defiant on the prow. You know, wonderful lines speaking on, you know, how oftentimes people are willing to dish out advice that either isn't asked for or it's not the advice that you need. And like you're dealing with a difficult time and their advice is something stupid, like just, you know, will yourself to cheer up or, you know, it feels like that kind of advice that comes from people that don't really understand the significance of the situation. And quid pro quo, you gotta give till it hurts before you can let it go. So take a leaf out of any book and kill the sacred cow. You know, I like that, the idea of, you know, the idea, oh gosh, I'm trying to find the right words for it, but the use of the sacred cow as an idol, like get rid of your idols and rather learn to think for yourself. I think that's in part what I get from it. So strong thought-provoking lines and very well done. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, for all those listeners here on All Poetry that have subscribed to my OnlyFans page that has the live stream into Pam's bedroom, yes, there is no beetle. Yes, she is high on Faisy's mushrooms. So just bear with me. She'll come down pretty soon, and there will be no screaming. This is a fun one. This is a really fun one. And I even caught it in Faisy's rendition. Faisy did a wonderful read. This has all the sass of a Southern rock song. And I even got into the spirit as you were rocking through this thing, that it just kind of, you know, it stomps its foot a little bit. It kind of wears its bell bottoms and does its thing with a snarl on its face and makes you just kind of want to let your hair down and put a knife to the levee and across the sky and let the water flow. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of has that rebel spirit to it. And the refrain, the repeated refrain, does have just a spice, just a hint of religious acumen to it. It has a little bit of Rage Against That Machine, and it has that little, again, that stompy foot feel that I really kind of enjoyed. I got into the spirit of this one. It was freedom rock for me, and I know that Dylan has that sass in him, and so this is another one where all the nods, all the fandom of people that enjoy Dylan was done here, but the spirit and the smile of a nod to the spirit is what made my belly warm, I guess. So that's what I have to say. Great write.
Very cool comment. I like that this write led you to mention Rage Against the Machine and Bob Dylan in the same breath. I thought that was so super cool.
absolutely.
Very cool. And Faisy, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I like the way it was written, like as it should be pronounced. So to keep the syllables the right amount, there are a few times where, like, instead of saying raining with a G, it's rainin, and starts at the end and then has a little apostrophe. So that felt it made it in the flow, and I know I can't really do a proper accent, but it made it fit nicer having that. So I like those details when people show like how it should be said by purposely not spelling it all out. I enjoy that. I found it interesting, take a leaf out of any book, because take a leaf out of a book usually kind of refers to, like, you know, look this up in whatever. But take a leaf out of any book is a statement. There's a lot of little colloquialisms in here, like tit for tat and Okay, now I don't see them. But there's a whole bunch of things that are like kind of like things that people say all the time, little sayings. And the way that they're woven together works out nicely. It kind of struck me as funny with the "and spread the word in Google search." that was just like such a like little modern bit to throw in there. And also, "spread the word in Google search" kind of baffles me because Google search, you're going to find the word. You're not so much going to spread it. You make your own websites and stuff, but spread it in Google search. I don't know. That line threw me off, but it was amusing. The repetition works really nice in this. Definitely made it feel like a song. The whole thing definitely felt like a song. I didn't know what tune to sing it to because I was not familiar with the original song, but it had a flow like it was definitely musical.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Definitely, definitely. Great comments. All right, so let's see. I guess that brings us to the next one. And all right. Up next, we have "Mr. M is Back in Town" by T. Perry 898. Absent-minded manners matter at the annual Beatnik Bash. Cleopatra in a stolen bra is sifting through the trash. Skinny Moo is causing havoc. Chester's laughing fit to burst. Silver studs are scratching paintwork as they satisfy their thirst. Loosen up the chains of commerce. Chaos wears a crucifix. Half-track Frank and light-hand Lester are discussing politics. Phoenix Pat is raised in thunder, someone sucking on a pig. Madam Sin is stealing kisses, wearing Jack the Ripper's wig. Down in Frisco, tubs are leaking, folks are screaming, sinner sin. Horses race for greener pastures, hell is gently simmering. Hoedown Patrick with his bird books hanging from the mistletoe. Lucky Lou is his suspenders, reaches up and says hello. Big Jim makes the grandest entrance, looking dandy and refined. Blind boys hiding in a barrel, out of sight is out of mind. Raise the roof and slap the saddle, gasp the cat and skin the moose. Pluck the pips and cream the lasses, Mr. M is breaking loose. End poem. Oh, man, that one just makes me smile. And he was inspired by the song "Tiny Montgomery." And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Oh, hell yeah. You know I'm laughing the whole way through this. I love this party. Are you kidding me? Phoenix Pat is raising thunder. Someone's sucking on a pig. Now, see, that's my kind of party. Now, this one's a great debauchery. There's no meaning. The sounds of it are wonderful. And it's just, it's utter just indulgence, I guess is the best word. And who can't smile at that? I mean, once again, we talked about it 100 times, Pammy, but it's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, and I always want to be invited. And it's just fun the whole way through. I love the incredibly imaginative description of all of the characters that don't mean anything, but it's done with such a flair for the sound of words, and that's what makes it poetry for me. So yeah, I mean, I could read stuff like this all day long, just giggle all the way through. Very well done.
Absolutely, yes, and I love when we get invited to that Mad Hatter's Tea Party, so very cool. And Faizy, your thoughts?
This is awesome. It was so funny all the way through. And, like, I mean, like, it starts off with ways that I'm totally picturing people that I know in my city who I would, like, consider to be that person. Like, not that I know personally, but, like, you know, Cleopatra in the stolen bra. I have an image in my mind of who that would be. Skinny Moo, yeah. Chester's laughing fit. I have a person who I totally associate with that. I don't know if it just happens that I'm in, like, a lick town, but I honestly can picture each one of these people very clearly. And it kind of reminds me of, there was this video thing that I was watching yesterday, and it was like a hick-off, and it was like, see whose house was the most redneck, and they're going back and forth saying things, and like somehow this like just makes a connection for me. But it also reminds me a lot of the song Pinball Wizard by The Who. I don't know what it is about it. It's just sort of like the playing on the way that people are and the observational kind of humor. It's just really, really funny stuff. And it had a flow to it. Like, I think this also was a song. The way you read it, Pam, had a rhythm that felt musical to me.
Absolutely. And I really like that you brought up Pinball Wizard by The Who, because, you know what, it does have that kind of feel to it. Like, you know, that kind of just epic silliness and, you know, having fun and bringing all these different characters. Like, I could honestly see a musical being made out of this poem, you know. Fun, clever wordplay, great rhyme and flow. I like how he brings in all these different characters, you know, that you would expect to see, like, at some, like, 1920s or 30s speakeasy, you know, and down in Frisco, tubs are leaking, folk are screaming, sinner sin, horses race for greener pastures, hell is gently simmering. Hold on, Patrick, Lucky Lou, Big Jim. I mean, it's like the whole freaking gang is there. And, you know, great fun, just trippy, right? I really liked Madam Sin is Stealing Kisses wearing Jack the Ripper's wig. I'm just really, really great lines, wonderful rhyme and flow, and truly, truly entertaining. I'm not going to try to shove in another right. We will save the last couple ones for the next show. And hopefully by then, our dear Rex will be back with us and feeling better. And let's see, it is Thursday, which means, I believe if I remember correctly, we have Double Helix coming up. So why don't you tell us what you and Dan have planned for that? Or do I have the wrong week?
No, you're right. It's Double Helix tomorrow, or I guess later today, depending on your time zone. And Dan has a contest that is a picture that he took, and it's the sun going down in the city, and it just, it has this, like, vibe to it where it just feels like it should be a story. And so it's about, like, how that makes you feel. He's great at catching those everyday kind of moments and making you think about those kind of
very, very soon.
Yeah, it should be lots of fun. And then for Part Sinner, Part Saint, which is the next day, we have a contest that I did, which is based on Persephone, the Greek goddess, and her kind of complicated relationship with Hades. I'm getting some interesting comments about that one. Not everyone's a fan of Persephone, it would seem. I quite enjoy her.
Wow.
So we'll see what we get for right.
That sounds really interesting. I like that. I like that. And, of course, make sure to keep an eye out on all the topic boards and contests put out by our late night sports hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And Jeremy, Fazy, thank you to both of you. You are both always such great fun to hang out with. Thank you to Silent Tree for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all, and have a good night, everyone.